Thank you. And I'm kind of fortunate. Nikki kind of set me up on this. She showed some individual trials on what I'm going to show here. In the Mid-South, we have been doing, you know, what we call standardized trials for different pests for quite a number of years. And then since Kearns moved back to Texas in certain conditions, situations, Texas is now a Mid-South state. This has been very beneficial to us. Thrips is one of the pests that we've been running these standardized trials on. It gives us a lot of utility to look at things consistently across large geographies. The speakers before me went into thrips damage, and it's a range of damage severity that can be observed. I'm kind of proud of this picture. I took this picture myself like 1997. That's 5 weeks after emergence. So anyway, typically in the Mid-South, I know Texas has variability, but tobacco thrips is generally our primary species. We see westerns periodically. They see them more consistently in Texas. Like I said, we've run these trials for a number of years, and the treatments we've included have varied depending on the situation. Some of this is evolved as neonicotinoid resistance has occurred in tobacco thrips. Some of this is in response to some of the new herbicide technologies and restrictions of tank mixing insecticides with the herbicide applications. But just kind of quickly, acephate has been around forever. This is one that we've used in Mississippi a lot. Acephate, along with imidacloprid, as far as tobacco thrips management and with the herbicide application restrictions. AgLogic has been there. This is one that was included, but I'm not sure about its fate in the future. As well as infer spray combinations of imidacloprid along with acephate in those products alone. Philip did a good job showing the thrips damage rating scale. Now, what you'll see here is these numbers are a lot lower than what Nikki showed. This is a combined analysis of 6 or 8 or 9 trials. Still at one leaf stage, pretty good number of thrips per plant in the untreated. We see reductions with all of our at-planting insecticides, some variability. Not surprising, AgLogic or Aldicarb has been the standard forever. Okay, damage. Pretty minimal. I'll comment specifically about Mississippi because I experienced that weather firsthand. Mid to late April, when we were starting to plant cotton, was about as poor planting conditions as you could imagine. Cold, wet periods, really cold. We had corn that sat at the 1-2 leaf stage for 3 weeks. So that's not really when you want to plant cotton. A lot of folks waited. Around the 1st of May, the weather broke. Folks started planting. Cotton come out of the ground screaming. As far as early season development, probably one of the fastest developing crops I've ever seen in my life. Which, even though you got a fair number of thrips, this damage is outgrown pretty quickly. 2-leaf stage, higher levels of thrips infestation in the untreated. Again, pretty good reduction. Some variability across the different products, but still pretty good reductions compared to the untreated. Damage is creeping up. Some separation, but still relatively low. Nothing that super concern you. Get to the 3-leaf stage, we see you know, thrips population cycle, we see a little fall off, again, reductions with the insecticides. Damage, especially in the untreated, is getting to that point where we're, you know, people get concerned, and then we see separation again with the insecticides. Acephate, this is not uncommon. Typically, as a seed treatment, you know, this has been looked at for 50 years. 14 days is about the extent of that. You're getting to that period, so that decline is not unexpected. Fourth leaf, I mean, everything's all over the board. Everything's breaking. You know, there's separation here, but nothing separates from the untreated. But this is about the time that we stop worrying about thrips. And again, damage is still not excessive. All right, yield, combined across all locations, there's no yield differences. If you look in the thrips literature, and I've been coming to the Beltwide for longer than I care to admit, I get to where I see people in the audience that are, more people in the audience that are a lot younger than me. This has been a debate for 60-plus years. Now, you will get conditions. This is C. Brown's in Louisiana. He has a significant yield reduction. In the southern part of the Cotton Belt, these yield reductions are not consistent. You see them sometimes. You get to North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, theirs is a lot more consistent. Why? Typically shorter growing season. Cotton being a perennial, I mean, it has the ability to compensate for this damage. And usually, you know, if you have good growing conditions, this is a yield response you'll see under even pretty severe thrips infestations early. Okay, yeah, no yield differences. But there is a cost, and this is pretty well documented. This compensation for this damage and no yield reduction comes with a delay in maturity, which is very consistent a lot across many places. So, some of y'all who may be new to cotton or may not have had it, I'm talking to the folks younger than me. So, why are we concerned about something that doesn't consistently impact yield? One is this delay in maturity. The other is thrips management and dealing with thrips sets the tone for the season. You can ruin a grower's attitude toward a cotton crop by having to spray thrips twice. He's mad from the end of May all the way to October. And with, okay, and you know, if you've got really good growing conditions in August, September, got good harvest conditions, 7 to 10 day delay in maturity may not seem like it's worth very much. But if you get in the Mid-South and you got these two things to deal with, it is very important. 7 to 10 day delay in maturity means you got 7 to 10 days to 2 weeks you got to deal with these more than you would normally. That is 1 to 2 or and possibly one more insecticide application. Just say one of each. That's $30-$35 more that you got to spend. So that is one of the reasons that helps, that thrips set the tone for it. And that's one of the reasons, especially in our area, where thrips management is ultra important. So, does anyone know how they really sold thrips management to growers in the 60s and 70s? Do I know? No. Had to do with weed control. Back then, all of the herbicides were post-directed. You needed a height differential between the cotton plants and the weeds. So that's how it was sold to the growers. Now, as we moved into more problems with resistance pests, where we're trying to get in and out of the field as quickly as possible, that's where this delay in maturity has really become very important. And as the cost of everything's gone up, you know, we've got guys who've spent in the last 10 years $100 an acre to control plant bugs. If you can shave two applications off because you got the crop out of the field earlier, that's very, very important to folks. So that's what I got, small history lesson. I didn't quite go as long as I thought I was. But if y'all got any questions, holler at me. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. And the one thing that I was going to say that I forgot, especially in Mississippi, we've been blessed for a number of years of really good harvest conditions. 2018 reminded people that, you know, time is extremely valuable. So. All right. Well, I didn't go as long as I thought I would. But. Angus has chased that, and, you know, it's been hit or miss, and I think it was very subtle. There was nothing that really stood out with a lot of resistance, and I'm looking at Angus, and if I'm saying something wrong, I hope he corrects me. So, and you know, the one thing I didn't mention, and Scott's not in here, but we were relying a lot on acephate, and he's seeing some hiccups. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. You blend in well. But he's seeing some hiccups in Tennessee, and I think they're seeing a few in Arkansas, too. And that's pretty concerning because we're relying heavily on acephate to supplement things. So.
Any more questions?
All right, appreciate it, y'all.